Well, welcome back to the God School. Today we're going to the table of the Lord, sometimes called the communion table or table of grace. Paul speaks of this activity in the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians. I want to go to a small text in that passage. Jesus speaking, he said, "This is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. This ye do, or this do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me." Paul further goes on to say, "He that eateth and drinketh unworthily," it's an adverb, it modifies an action or the manner of partaking, "eateth and drinketh damnation," that's a judgment, that's not ultimate damnation, but temporary, krema is the Greek word, "drinketh judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." So often is this sacrament, something ordained by Christ himself, is abused and misunderstood in our church. Some take it in 10 seconds, a cup of wine, and too many denominations don't even use wine, alcohol wine, which is what Jesus partook of that night called the Last Supper. Wine and broken bread. Now, these are just symbols. Join us today. You don't need wine. It's not required. We're just trying to set the record straight. Water will do. And a piece of broken bread or cracker or cookie or whatever. They're symbols, folks. They're symbols. And Paul says that we, to use the inverse, that we partake worthily when we discern. So we're going to do some discernment today. I would have you open your Bibles to the 16th chapter of the book of Leviticus. And the chapter opens and says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered before the Lord, and died." That's another story. But let's continue on. "And the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron thy brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat." Underline that word, mercy seat. We're going to talk about it. "Which is upon the ark, that he die not. For I will appear in a cloud upon the mercy seat." Underline it. And he goes on to talk about the clothing of Aaron, the washing of Aaron, the gifts of the congregation. And it says in the sixth verse, "And Aaron shall offer his bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make an atonement for himself and for his house." In the eighth verse it says, "And Aaron shall..." Let's go to the seventh verse. "And he shall take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron shall cast lots upon the two goats, one for the Lord, and the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell, and offer him up for a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make an atonement with him, and to let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness. It goes on further in the 12th verse, and it says, and he shall take a censer full of burning coals of the fire off the altar before the Lord, and his hands full of sweet incense, beaten small, and bring it within the veil. This is speaking of the praise of the Lord. And he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of incense may cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony, that he die not. Going back to those sons of Aaron that died, they offered fire other than from the altar. False fire. It says, and he shall take of the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it with his fingers upon the mercy seat, eastward before the mercy seat, and he shall sprinkle the blood with his fingers seven times. That's the number of completion. And then shall he kill the goat of the sin offering, that is for the people, and bring his blood within the veil, that's the Holy of Holies, and do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat, and before the mercy seat. And he shall make an atonement for the holy place, because of uncleanness of the children of Israel, and because their transgressions and all their sins. And so he shall do for the tabernacle of the congregation, and that remaineth among them in the midst of their uncleanness. The 21st verse says, and Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the live goat, that is the scapegoat, and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel, and all their transgressions, in all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and he shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness, and the goat shall bear upon him all the iniquities unto a land not inhabited. And he shall let the goat go in the wilderness. And it goes on to say, and he shall make an atonement for the holy sanctuary, and he shall make an atonement for the tabernacle of the congregation and for the altar. And he shall make an atonement for the priests and for all the people of the congregation. And this shall be an everlasting statute unto you, to make an atonement for the children of Israel for all their sins once a year. And he did as the Lord commanded unto Moses. Now, folks, understanding Scripture is not the easiest thing. That's why God gives gifts to His church. He gives apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, that they may edify or bring understanding. And an understanding we have of Scripture is the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. And the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. Now, look, who are we talking about here? We're talking about, in the Old Testament, the children of Israel. Remember, this was done for a chosen people, a destined, a separated, a sanctified, a led people whom God used as an example. A faithful people who still needed grace and recognized a payment was still due for their sins. And that which is due is death. Christ died in order to place, Christ died in our place, and sin is removed. That's what this 16th chapter of Leviticus is telling us. Well, let's get some revealing here. In the 9th chapter of the book of Hebrews, it says, there's a lot of text here, folks. We're going to come to an understanding. But under the second went the high priest alone, that is, into the Holy of Holies, that is, inside the veil. But under the second, the high priest went once every year, right? Not without blood, for which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. When this day of atonement was performed, the people's sins were removed. The sins of the past year were removed, but they had to come again the next year. Let's continue. The Holy Ghost signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and diverse washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. This word means to straighten thoroughly. It's not the reformation of the 1500s. But Christ, being common high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of the heifer sprinkling unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? This is a parenthetical statement. This is a time of year. Yesterday was Ash Wednesday. And, you know, all that stuff that is being reported as to the reason for Ash Wednesday and Lent, of which there is no scripture to support. Lent has a heathen origin. It was for the weeping of Tammuz, son of Semiramis. Heathen worship, heathen religion. We're speaking the word of God here. It is the truth. Let's continue. For if the blood of bull and goats and the ashes of the heifer and the sprinkling the unclean sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, to purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? God's not interested in religious things. He's interested in your faith. He presents himself as faithful and does show us his will, the will for us in Christ Jesus. And for this cause, speaking of Jesus, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Continue reading in that ninth chapter, if you would. Now, back to speaking out of Leviticus 16, it says, it was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in heaven should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves were better sacrifices than these, for Christ is not entered into the holy place made without hands, which are figures of the true, but into heaven itself. Now, to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he, that is Christ, often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world has he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Further witness to this is found in the 7th chapter of Hebrews, 27th verse, speaking of Christ, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins. Christ had no sin, and for the people's, for this he did once when he offered up himself. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. We are remembering Jesus. Jesus. The opening of the Hebrews letter, first chapter. Whom God has appointed heir of all things, and by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. This is Jesus. And upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had, listen, by himself purged our sins and sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Now, folks, this word that I told you to underline back in Leviticus 16, mercy seat, the Hebrew is kaporet, that is covering. And it was made of gold. It was gold is a symbol of divinity. But in the Greek Septuagint, the word is hilasterion. Sometimes the translators of the King James come short from bringing understanding by their translation, but I would bring us to this. It says in the 3rd chapter of the book of Romans, it says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, by dead works, there shall no flesh be righteousified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin, but now a righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. That speaks of Moses and Elijah. Appearing with Christ on the mountain of transfiguration. Even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all the ones believing, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being righteousified freely by his grace through the redemption, that is the price paid, that is in Christ Jesus, King James translation, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. That's not a good translation, folks. Whom God has set forth forever to be a hilasterion, When the sacrifice of the high priest was acceptable, then God in a cloud would appear unto him on the mercy seat, on the hilasterion. And that mercy seat is in type and figure Jesus Christ. The place, the hilasterion, where God meets us because the sacrifice was acceptable once and for all. That's why Christ could sit down. The work is finished. We take this cup, looking through it. It's called the blood. Jesus called it the blood. The blood is the symbol of life. And so as we take this cup, we look to the life of Jesus and what he did, who once and for all removed by himself our sins. And we lift this cup with joy through the understanding of what Jesus did and who Jesus is. And we thank God for his grace and that which he provided for us. Eternal life, taken with joy in Jesus. Amen. But there's two elements at this table. We spent a long time, not undeservedly so, for Jesus deserves all our attention and what he did for us. But there's two elements at this table. He did more than just purge our sins that we might have eternal life. It says, Isaiah 53, that he took upon himself all our infirmities. And with his stripes, we were healed. Matthew 8:17 makes it even more specific in the Greek, that he himself took our sicknesses and infirmities. And it says, and he healed all that were sick. What a promise. What understanding. That we might praise the Lord. That we might take this bread with discernment and therefore in a worthy manner to the praise and glory of God our Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. By whom? With his stripes, we were healed. We have this promise, folks. If you're sick, go to the table, come to the table of the Lord. As oft as ye would come, until you be healed, and even after to continue that which was required for our wholeness and wellness, that is, for shalom, might continue with you. If you die of your sickness, God be praised, you'll wake up in eternity healed in Jesus Christ. Amen.